Welcome to the 69th episode of the Jewish Drinking Show. I'm your host, Rabbi Drew Kaplan. I'm very excited to welcome first-time guests, Amanda Weiss and Gabe Snyder, to the show.
We're so excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure. I think, actually, this is the first time I've had a dual guest on, which is a first for the show.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! All right, so for those less familiar with Amanda and Gabe here, Amanda K. Weiss is a third-year rabbinical student at Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion in New York City and serves as the rabbinic intern at Temple Shaarei Tefillah in Westchester. A lover of community building, engagement opportunities, and ridiculous puns, Amanda has built her career from a deep passion for making Judaism accessible, relevant, and resonant. Gabe is a third-year cantorial student at the Debbie Friedman School of Sacred Musing at Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion. He is in his second year serving as the student cantor of Chevra of Southern Berkshire in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, not to be confused with the minor Barrington, Massachusetts. So, Man and Gabe, thank you so much for joining.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. The reason they're on the episode here, they're in this conversation. Amanda and Gabe are also the hosts of Drinking and Droshing, another Jewish drinking podcast out there. And there aren't many of us out there yet. And so in any event, it's great to have these fellow Jewish drinking podcasters with us for this episode. So Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist, is a weekly podcast that allows Jews, and I suspect even wannabe Jews, to connect in their own terms and on their own time. So Man and Gabe, I'm very excited to have this because I don't know, there could be others out there. How many other sort of Jewish drinking podcasts there are out there? It's rare, right? It's a rare niche in the Jewish drinking in the Jewish podcasting world, right?
We haven't done much research into it. I think for us, when we were looking, there wasn't a ton out there, but also we thought that this would just be certainly a fun way to look at Torah, to look at kind of tradition in a way that certainly had not really been done before.
Speaking of Jewish drinking podcasts, Man and Gabe, what are you drinking for this episode?
I will give a shout out to Oregon Hill director, executive director, Andy Gittleson. I am drinking Four Roses Bourbon, which Andy introduced me to when I was working for Oregon Hill. So
nice.
That is what I have tonight.
Very nice. Gabe, what do you have?
I don't have a story, but I'm drinking Bowmore 12, a nice Islay Scotch.
Awesome. All right. So, and I am drinking Glenfiddich 12, which is a Scotch, but not an Islay, but I do like my Islays. So I want to raise a glass and say L'chaim.
L'chaim, our tagline.
By the way, so for those interested in random trivia, this is the very first time I've ever interacted with Gabe, but not the first time I've ever interacted with Amanda. We go back 8.5 years, almost 9 years, 8 years, when we were both Hillel professionals that we met at a Hillel staff conference. And the Hillel professional she mentioned, Andy Gittleson, was also my final semester in undergrad at Indiana University. It was his first semester working as a Hillel professional. So I crossed paths with Andy almost 2 decades ago, so a decade and a half ago. So Amanda and I, in addition to knowing each other personally through Hillel, also know Andy. We have a mutual friend there. While it might not be such a strange cocktail of a combination to mix drinking and droshing to listeners of the Jewish Drinking Show, how did you, Amanda and Gabe, come about in the creation of your podcast, Drinking and Droshing?
So I can start the story and then hand it off to Gabe. When we were in our year in Israel in 2018 to 2019, we were really looking for a way for our class to connect. There were over 50 of us, which is a big group, especially when you are thrown together in a foreign city and all of you are trying to understand how to get home, let alone how you started on this crazy journey of rabbinics or education or cantorial school. And so my roommate, Julia Bennett, who's an education student and graduating this spring, shout out to Julia Bennett, decided that we were going to host weekly an event that we call Drinking and Droshing, where students and faculty members were able to get together and informally learn about the Parsha in their own way. Some people brought in poetry, some people brought in comedy, some people brought in music and others. Like, for instance, we had Zohara, who taught the entire thing in Hebrew, which was definitely my most challenging week. Really, it was a wonderful experience for people to connect. I was talking about the program with our voluntold advisor, Rabbi Andrew Goodman. He said, you should make this a podcast. And I said, I have no time to do that. And a year later, when we were in a pandemic, I was going to school full time. I had two part-time jobs and an internship. I looked at Andrew Goodman. I looked at Gabe and our producer, Idan, and I said, you know what? We should make this a podcast.
What grew out of that initial conversation was something really special, because initially the conversation was, how do we recreate this kind of informal, very relaxed atmosphere where we're just talking about the weekly Torah portion? How do we recreate that in a way that hasn't been done before? Because there are podcasts that go through Parashat HaShavua. That's been done. How do we recreate that in a way that people are going to want to listen to, but also add something new to the conversation? Amanda has this wonderful line, translate Torah into tangible tactics. What that means for us in the podcast is that we could just sit around and talk about, you know, what did Jacob do and why is that interesting? But we kind of flipped the script and we said, you know what are people doing today? What are their values that go into that? What's their personal Torah? And how does that relate back to our tradition? How does that relate back to Torah? And what tactics, what ideas can we pull out of Torah to really make things more accessible and relevant and resonant, to use another Amanda-ism?
So this really came about during the pandemic, right? How did the pandemic catalyze the creation of the podcast?
For me, my work has consistently over the last two decades been about creating engagement opportunities. And for me, the way I define engagement, so that's not just a buzzword that gets used by you know, brilliant Jewish organizations, is this idea of being able to pass one opportunity or a person or something cool from a person to another person. And so they're able to keep on going down the road. So for us, a lot of this had to do with the idea of trying to create Jewish community and continuity for an audience that wasn't looking for it in a synagogue membership. Well, here's the deal. With the pandemic, synagogue membership has very quickly been declining, and podcast listenership has very quickly been increasing.
Really?
So really, you're
oh, that's very exciting for me to hear.
I was gonna say, you're on track. And so for us, what was really important, and you said it beautifully before, is this idea of being able to access Judaism on their own terms and on their own time. Meaning, look, there are people that are going to be casual listeners. There are going to be people that are going to listen when they cook, turn it off, come back to it. And so for us, we wanted to be somebody that could help others share their story and be somebody that could accompany them during this pandemic so that maybe they might feel a little less alone, so that they could feel like they had a real community to reach out and be a part of.
How have you exercised or encouraged or otherwise fostered community?
We have a pretty active social media presence. We've had incredible content, incredible guests. What that's turned into is a listenership that seems to often expand and then come back. Once they listen to one episode, they tend to listen to more. We have had a pattern for the last few weeks of having about 100 listeners a week. They may not always listen to the same episode. Sometimes people will kind of jump around and hear what they like. I think that a really important part of our podcast is this idea that everybody feels seen or heard in some way, that their stories are shared with the people that are coming onto the podcast, or even the people that we bring on as Q&A guests for the podcast. So really this idea of feeling heard, feeling seen, and being able to resonate with the stories that are being shared.
So we have an increasingly active social media presence. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram, kind of on Twitter. We're not as good at that, but we're working on it. What's been really fun for us is that not only do we have a guest or two, or on one episode three, come in to share their personal Torah with us, but we also bring on a guest question asker. We've tried to come up with a better name, guest interviewer, guest something, but regardless, We
By the
bring
way,
on an
question asker is great. What about Q&A-er? Or at least the Q-er.
Q&A-er, that's great.
Or
Love
at least
that.
The Q-er. They don't necessarily have to provide the A, at least the Q, right?
And so it's been really wonderful to not only have conversations with our guests, but to basically give a platform for somebody else to have a conversation with our guest. It's also been interesting for us to curate those conversations so that, you know, we have some really interesting pairings of people who don't necessarily know each other, but share some kind of common thread. And that's really what we're aiming to do, because as Amanda said, we want to give everybody an opportunity to feel seen or to feel heard. But beyond that, people tend to come back. And so once they hear that person who they say, you know what, that's me, I get that, that really resonates with me, then they listen to another episode where it's somebody not entirely similar to them, mm-hmm. and they learn something new.
Cool. Where does the drinking come in?
It's the first
word of the title of your podcast, Drinking and Droshing. So right there, how does it play a part of your podcast?
That's truly an amazing question, and not the first time we've heard it. And so I think that it requires some explanation. So in our teaser, in our aperitif episode, we actually hit on that point of
I've listened to a couple of episodes, not the aperitif episode.
Do not worry. Episode 00. It is a very popular episode. Mostly, we think, because it is the shortest one. but I do say to Gabe, okay, so we've got the joshing part. What about the drinking part? And Gabe goes, well, that's just fun. And I said, can we do something just because it's fun? And Gabe was like, is fun not a good enough reason to do something? But the reality was that we wanted a chance to be creative and to reach our audience. And this is another thing Gabe and I argue about, and it's okay, is Gabe will say we are trying to reach an audience of 20s and 30s. And I will argue that we are trying to reach an audience of between 18 and 40. And Gabe says very realistically that we are fighting over
3 years.
We are fighting over 3 years difference, and he's right, as often he is. But I think where it comes in a segment that we lovingly and jokingly refer to as Midrashic mixology, where we get to be a little clever with the drinks that we make and tying them into our Torah portions. And Gabe has three very real rules for what those drinks need to be and what the recipes for those drinks need to be. In order to make it as inclusive as possible.
Okay.
And so what are the rules?
Yeah.
So So the three things: every drink has to be creative. It has to be delicious. And there has to be an analogous non-alcoholic version of the drink. And the reason we do that is that we want to be accessible to all people. We also want to make it clear that there are a lot of different ways to experience Judaism and to experience Torah. There are also a lot of different ways that people experience alcohol, and there are a lot of different ways that people experience that kind of culture. For some people, it's a big negative, and it's something that can turn them off. And that was something we really wanted to avoid. We wanted to make sure we gave voice to that entire spectrum. Rather than simply cut it off and say, you know what, here's the drink this week, we always make sure that there's something that is equally creative and delicious for our alcohol-free listeners.
I'm curious also, has there been any pushback, I don't know about criticism, but at least concerns thrown your way about throwing drinking as the very first word, or even having it anywhere in your title, for those who might be struggling with this, struggling with alcohol? Have you heard anything come your way?
It was a conversation pretty early on before we started the podcast.
I have to tell you, the very first day I announced September 2019, I put it out there on Facebook. I bought JewishDrink.com. I'm going to start this. Like, I had multiple comments populating that Facebook post. What about alcoholism? What about alcohol abuse? The very first thing I created a page for alcoholism resources. And so, yeah, I mean, I think any, and certainly anybody listening out there who wants to create another Jewish Ring podcast, may there be many, I think they're going to have to contend with issue like concerns. Like people absolutely, I think you'll definitely confirm this. There will be voices of concern when you say drinking, and people are like, well, what about the other side of the coin, right?
I think that's true. And, you know, as much as it is a concern, I think it's also a really wonderful thing that that's something we're thinking about and we're talking about. Alcoholism and alcohol addiction, addiction in general, are really stigmatized in society in general, but also particularly in the Jewish community. There's a really pervasive thought that Jews don't get addicted, that's not a thing that happens to us. And that's just not true. The fact that people are sensitive to that issue, the fact that people are saying, this kind of rubs me the wrong way, I actually think is a really wonderful thing, because it means we're going in the right direction. It means we're coming out of the shadows on
That's a great way to see it, as a blessing. And also, I'm going to throw it out there. I think the start that we hopefully, I don't know if we've created, if there are other Jewish Drinking podcasts out there I'm just not aware of, but I'm going to keep planting seeds about this for the many more that I hope to see pop up. I'm dead serious about that. I think one of the great opportunities that these provide really is an opportunity to talk about alcoholism, to talk about alcohol abuse, because as you mentioned, it is really put in a place where it is kind of taboo. And yet having these platforms offers an opportunity to think about it and really share resources, right?
I just want to throw this out there. I hope it's okay to put in a plug for
some... Absolutely. What good is a podcast if not for plugs?
So I just pulled it up, and I will let him know that I did this after. Our podcast, you know, you talked about whether or not we're reaching non-Jewish listeners, and we are. And someone I went to high school with created an app, which is a phenomenal app, and it's called Pocket Rehab, which for those of us who are in love with things called like Pocket Torah, maybe, you know, it's an easy remembrance of Pocket Rehab. And it is put together so that there can be a community of people that can be together in an app, have a community, rethink about stigmatism and try to reduce the stigmatism around it. I think that these types of things are really important. And I did notice when we went to your website that you did have this beautiful area for resources for people to look at, which I love. It's kind of like when the lottery has the Gambling Anonymous things on their website. I think that anytime that Jews or anybody have the opportunity to engage in something that is really pleasant, there's always the equal opportunity and danger of us going overboard. And so I think that that is something we learn about a lot in Jewish texts. I think it's something we for sure learn about in a lot of Jewish Torah portions. And I think that when we know about these things in advance, and we're able to talk about these things in advance, and everybody knows that as soon as we go into Midrashic mixology, there's always going to be a non-alcoholic version, that's a big deal. I think also the fact that even on this podcast that we're not constantly being like, all right, everybody take a shot, everybody throw one back. These things are really important because it allows people to listen and engage without feeling like they might get triggered.
That's great. Hey there, I hope you've been enjoying this episode so far. I want to give you a sneak peek into next week's episode featuring Rabbi Michael Bernstein.
What is it about wine? It's not just, and I think the Talmud basically uses the language of, hey, if you can heap it together, you must be a tzaddik. But it's the same, it's like you either lose control, you lose less control, or you're a tzaddik, you're a righteous person, you're sage, you're as smart as the Sanhedrin, and you lose no control.
I hope you enjoyed that sneak peek into next week's episode, and I hope you come back and watch it and listen to it. Now back to our episode. So this is the perfect transition to move into the drushing aspect of the title. We talked about the drinking. I'm pretty sure we covered the and. Now we got to the drushing. So we got a little bit of the drushing with the Noah story. How does the drushing incorporate? I know Gabe described Amanda's approach, the what is it, the tactic stuff, something like that, right?
Translating Torah into tangible tactics.
There we go. So how does the drushing, how do you incorporate the drushing as part of the podcast?
I think, you know, we have this segment called Midrashic Mixology, which is, you know, has Midrash in the name. The truth is, that's more of a good name and a good pun than it is like an accurate representation of what we're doing. The Midrashic Mixology segments, we have some great drinks that we put out. We, for Parashat Vayera, we had the Smoking Sodom Margarita, which was like a smoky margarita, and it was delicious.
What did you do for the smokiness?
We used mezcal instead of tequila, which is smokier. We also grilled a lime wheel, which to use as a garnish, which brought a little more smokiness. And of course, had some oak smoked sea salt on the rim, which is delicious.
Brilliant. Wow.
Thank you. So to go from that to the very next week, for Chaye Sara, you know, Rivka at the well, we had Rivka's well wishes as a drink, which also happened to be our first non-alcoholic cocktail. So that was exciting. Water? that would have been a lot easier for me, to be honest.
It's going to blow your eventual Noah cocktail, I'm telling you. It's going to get out there.
It's going to get out.
Noah cocktail? What is it, like a Long Island iced tea? Like, what is a Noah cocktail?
It might end up being that. Okay, you heard it here first, but we're still using it.
Exclusive.
Exclusive. Right. So you take a glass, right? And you start pouring water, right?
Put the glass in the sink.
Right. You should probably make this in the sink. That would make more sense. So you pour the water, and you just keep pouring the water. And eventually the glass fills up, and you just keep pouring the water. Just, like, keep going. And it's just all water. It's water everywhere. That's the Noah cocktail.
Okay.
No, the Rivka's Well Wishes was kind of cucumber, lime, club soda sort of deal. It was just a nice, cool, refreshing little drink.
In the summer.
Very good summer drink. But all of this is to say that, you know, there's definitely some puns going on. There's definitely Jewish humor. There's even some Torah in there. Like, we're talking about Rivka. We're talking about Sodom and the smoke and whatever. And the salt. Lot's wife with the rim. Good. Good job.
Well played. Well played.
Thank you.
So I think Gabe hits it a little bit on the head. I think also, and I know this is one of Gabe's favorite commentaries, so I'm stealing it, but that's okay because you take my life all the time. Yep. So in the very beginning of the Torah, Rashi has a beautiful line. Rashi is a commentator who we rely on to understand everything. He has a really beautiful line that basically says there are some things in the Torah that just shout out Darshani, explain me, interpret me. Maybe that doesn't necessarily happen in Midrashic Mixology, but that's because we're sneaky and we sneak it into the entire conversation. Often in my career, and often as Gabe is starting to explore his career, and there's a 10-year difference between us, which is why I can say that I've been in the field just a little bit longer than Gabe might have been. We often hear things like, I'm not Jewish enough to do X. I can't do Y. I'm not religious enough to do. I'm not Jewish enough to do. I'm not X enough to do Y. The way that we play a little bit with modern day Midrash is that the people we bring in for the Torah portion of the week that they do match the Torah portion in some way. And we show how the Torah portion and those Jewish values play out or are interpreted or are explained through the work of the people that come on. And so it's not only just that Darshani, interpret me, explain it, explain me, it is a Darshanu, right? Like, we interpreted, we explain, we are like, right, are being explained in this moment. And what's beautiful about that is that it allows people to tell their own stories that they have gotten intimately comfortable with in a very different light than they are used to telling the story. For, you know, people that might read the same story every year over and over and over again, I'm looking at you, Jewish people, is a really beautiful chance to look at something in a new light, right? To be able to look at a word or a sentence or a value that might be driving them that they hadn't thought about before.
So Amanda, I'm going to pick up on that thread you just dropped of we will do and we will understand, right? Can be understood as we can hear, often understood as we will understand, right? Doing and then understanding. My question for you is how much in the creation of your own podcast was there the wondering how you should start? And then at some point, did you just decide to pull the trigger and go with it and start publishing, right? And how much along the way so far have you learned? And also, I'm just going to throw this out there. You don't have to answer this immediately. Also, what about others who would like to get into the Jewish drinking podcast, I don't know, landscape? If I haven't planted enough seeds, I would love to see more Jewish drinking podcasts out there, because I do not think that this is, I don't think this is, this market has been cornered. I think we're only hitting certain niches, and I think there's still a lot of space to be covered in the Jewish drinking podcast space.
I understand. So instead of nishma, or not asev nishma, we will do and we will understand. I hear you saying nishte, the nishma, that we will drink and we will understand.
Well played. Wow. You win, Amanda. Amanda wins.
That's Kita Dalid right there. That's what that is.
That's higher level. Yeah.
Woo. So I
L'chaim, by the way, L'chaim to that. Nishte.
L'chaim, nishte. Nishte, again, meaning we will drink.
Nishte is gonna be such like that's gonna be the new keyword. Nishte. Whenever all the different Jewish drinking podcasts get together, that'll just be our you know, key word, just nishta.
It'll be our nishta. Shibboleth.
Yes.
I think that your question about how we got started is really, it's really a funny one. We talked a little bit about it before, of this idea of it had been suggested to me. I brought in Idan and Gabe because Gabe is one of my favorite people in the whole world, and Idan makes our worlds go round. Just truly our partner in the project, Idan Waldman, is extraordinary, and we're very lucky to have him. We decided that we were going to apply for a fellowship at HECJR called the Be Wise Fellowship. And we put it out there for funding, and we put it out there, you know, for support. And we kind of get to be in this mastermind once a month that like lets us work out some of the kinks, some of the issues that we're having. And they took too long to get back to us. So we decided that we were just going to start recording episodes because we wanted to. And you would think that we would start with, I don't know, the first Torah portion in the series, right? You think we'd start with Bereshit. We didn't. You know, we decided that we really, really were strongly interested in everybody being able to have their voice heard, and that that's how we wanted to start our podcast. And so the very first episode that we started with was Gabe.
Was Lech Lecha with Rabbi Michael Namath from the Religious Action Center. And we talked about the election, which was the next week, like 2 weeks later. And so we were able to start our podcast really jumping in the deep end in terms of content, talking about an election that, you know, was incredibly contested and incredibly important. As our first episode, we didn't start slow. And one of the wonderful things about basing our podcast around Parashat HaShavua is that we are kind of mandated a schedule. Every week there's a new Torah portion, and we just got to go along with what happens. We kind of jumped right in. We've certainly learned a lot along the way. I think what's been so helpful, and Amanda touched on this, but I'm going to reiterate it because it's so important. Our producer, Idan Waldman, is just a wonderful human being. He's a wonderful friend to both of us, but also he's a wonderful sound editor. He understands technology better than Amanda and I do combined. He's just been a wealth of information and really help. We wouldn't have gotten where we are without his help. you asked, you know, what do people do if they want to start this new Jewish drinking podcast? Because we need more of those. I want to put in another plug for anchor.fm. It's a really excellent service that's free for people to use, that really has integrated tools to start your own podcast. And it's been incredible to see from our Anchor dashboard, our podcast going out to all of these different streaming services, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all sorts of places. And so without that service, you know, or with that service, I should say, we've now been heard in 35 states and like 15 countries. And so just the ability to project our voices like that, and more importantly, the voices of others. So that's my answer, is find a friend who understands computers and find anchor.fm.
Edan sounds like he's getting a lot of props. So does he do this professionally? Can people hit him up?
No, people cannot hit him up.
That would have been an amazing plug for Edan. All right.
Edan's going to be so mad at us. No.
Grateful. The answer is yes, Edan does do this professionally. So to be fair, he does get paid to do this professionally. He works with a lot of Jewish organizations right now, including HECJR. He also does video editing, which is extraordinary. And the reason that we jumped so quickly is just because he's ours and we love him, and we don't ever want anyone to take him away from us. And also, like, if you want to pay him like millions of dollars, we would be okay with that, and we would support his choices and still be sad. The other thing I just want to jump on to what Gabe said before is play with it. Play. Like, have a good time. Laugh. Make mistakes. People come on to our show and we let them know, we give them kind of an outline of what it might look like, you know, what it'll run through. We let them have a lot of freedom to laugh at themselves, to laugh at us. You know, we make jokes that will mess up more than they do. We do mess up more than they do. For those that listen to the episodes, thank you, Edan, for making us sound so brilliant.
I was gonna say it's because, you know, you have the support on the editing side.
Right? Yes. By the way, just in case we haven't said it, thank you, Drew, for making us sound so brilliant on this podcast.
You're welcome.
And so what I would say is play with it. You'll notice that Gabe and I have spent a lot of time even here laughing. Drew, you also laugh. The more you have fun with it, the more people are willing to share who they really are. It's okay to do multiple takes. It's okay to yell out cut. It's okay to like get midway through a sentence and then be like, oh no, I don't like how that sounded. I want to start over. There are a lot of just fun ways to play and pivot and treat your guests with respect. Our financials, our most expensive thing is dealing with the incredible production of our podcast. And that's real. And we respect that, and well-deserved and truly. Gabe, what's our second most expensive?
Our second largest line item in the budget is for stationery and postage. Amanda writes all of our guests handwritten thank you notes because...
Wow.
She is that kind of person. No, because
that is amazing. I'm impressed.
No, because she's the best kind of person. But
so
also because
impressed.
We really respect our guests' time, and we really truly believe that you know, as smart as Edan makes us sound, nobody wants to sit and listen to just the two of us laugh about something we find funny for an hour. Maybe a couple of people want to listen to that. Not a lot. Not as many as we have.
Not even our parents.
Yeah. I think that's the final thing we'll say is, you know, find interesting people and ask them their story. You know, podcasting is a really wonderful way to share stories and to tell stories. And I think that, you know, the more people, the more stories you can get, the better your podcast will be.
Hey there, I hope you've been enjoying this episode so far, and hopefully other episodes as well. If you have any ideas, suggestions, comments, questions, queries, anything, if you have ideas, things you'd like to see, hear, or otherwise, please let me know. You can email me at drew@jewishdrinking.com, and I'd love to hear
your feedback and suggestions. All right, now back into the show.
I want to tie it all back to the both the drinking and the droshing. It's that it's about na'aseh v'nishma, that it's about doing and then understanding. I think people often get caught up in this bind of whether it's insecurity, perfectionism, whatever it is, and they don't want to really pull the trigger and execute until it's all well designed. But the truth is, sometimes you just got to start going and you will learn along the way. So that's a little bit of drinking drushing right there. I do want to say some, if people want thoughts, I'm just throwing out some ideas. People ask, I've literally gotten this at least a half dozen times. People ask me, Jewish drinking, does that mean like Jewish drunken history? And I say, that's a great idea. I'm not there yet. I think if someone wants to take that and run with it, I have no copyright on it. It's free for anybody to take. That's an incredible idea. Hasidic drinking tales, why not? You could do different midrash stuff. You could do, there's so much. You could, I really would have loved to have focused 100% on just rabbinic literature and drinking. There's so much there. It's super duper niche. So anybody who wants to do it has to, you know, but there's a lot of material there to mine. One could even do like literally just Jewish law and drinking. Like that would be such an incredible podcast of not just Kiddush for Shabbat and holidays. What about wine at a Brit Milah? Wine at any life cycle event, right? We've got that going on all the time. What about fasting? What about the 9 days? There's so many opportunities out there for people. Someone can literally do Maimonides and drinking podcast, right? Just see where he discusses it in Mishnah Torah and elsewhere. It'd be such a phenomenal, there's so many opportunities for the Jewish drinking podcast landscape. So I really, if I haven't done a good enough job of fostering and encouraging people out there, na'aseh v'nishma, v'nishta, go out there. If you need a few l'chaims to get you going in podcasting, you know, I just want to encourage people out there to do that.
I think that you make an excellent point, Drew. I think realistically, a lot of the time, the first step is to do it, to practice, to play, and then to pivot if you need to. Gabe understands, and for those who have known me a long time, I have a real love of alliteration.
You're killing it with the alliteration. It's amazing.
It works for me. It's fine. I think that there are a lot of people that might be surprised to know that Gabe and I are as close as we are and that we work together on this. It works really well for us. If you choose to take on a partner, make sure that your partners know what their roles are, because I think that that helps sometimes. And like, Gabe puts together all the drinks. Gabe also is willing to speak really, 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 really fast on the podcast, and I am not. I speak fast enough in person. I feel like I don't need to, you know, Alvin and the Chipmunks it for the podcast. I'm so excited for other people to be able to share their stories, whether it's a Jewish drinking podcast, whether it's anything that you have a passion for or a knowledge about. Practice telling stories, practice having a good time, getting your message out there, hone it, play with it, see if people will listen to you, and put something out there and then ask for feedback. For us, while we launched on October 29th, I think our teaser went up 3 days before. And we had our friends check it out just to make sure that it was like a good setup. And then we felt happy about launching it. And so I think that would be what I would have to say, not only just about podcasting, but about anything that you love to do or have a passion for. Follow it, realize that it's going to take a lot of work, and that the end result may not be everything you imagined it might be at the beginning, but that it could turn into something really beautiful by the middle, if not the end.
I also just want to reiterate that even though this really did come about for us, starting our podcast really came about during the pandemic, and during, you know, quarantine times, there is something inherently communal about podcasting. It really is about sharing your story. And as much as you could do a podcast sitting alone in your room with a computer, it really is about reaching out and creating a community. And I think there's something really wonderful about that. One more Amanda-ism that I'm just going to share because I think it's great is to always build connections before asking for commitments. That is to say, people are going to want to help you a lot more if you already have a relationship with them. Also, it's going to be a lot more fun to talk to people if you already have a relationship with them. So as much as this is about telling your story, it's also about building a larger community. So I just wanted to put that out there, that this really is a communal effort.
That's great. Amanda and Gabe, this has been great talking about podcasting and all this and that, but is there anything you want to promote?
Absolutely. We great. Would love for you to come listen to us. You can find us on anchor.fm/drinking-droshing. So that's anchor.fm/drinking-droshing. You can also find us on Facebook or Instagram at Drinking and Droshing. And you can yell at us on Twitter for not being more active at Tora with a Twist. But there's a very special episode that you might want to check out after you hear this episode, which features a special rabbi who might run his own podcast, a Purim special episode featuring Rabbi Drew Kaplan that you might want to check out. And you can find that episode anywhere that you listen to podcasts or on anchor.fm/drinking-droshing.
Nice. Amanda and Gabe, this has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining the show and sharing about your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
What a blast. What a blast. Man, nishte v'nishma.
L'chaim.
L'chaim.
Nishte. Just straight up nishte.
Yeah.